All right. Good to have everybody still with us this morning. I know some people left just to get back home before the weather got any worse because it's going to start getting close to freezing, but I'm thankful that all of you are here. One of the things that we do every year is we send out, as the year begins, a report to the church, just talking about things that have gone on in the past year and what's coming up in the coming year. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. You will see as you leave this morning on the credenzas in the back, there'll be this report that you can pick up. It's got four pages inside of it. I'm going to go through the information this morning. This is something that's sort of in-house. But if you're visiting with us and you're curious about what kind of congregation we are, this will give you a good idea of what we're trying to do in the kingdom of the Lord. I want to say as we begin that none of what is said this morning is to bring glory to us as a church or glory to us as individuals. And I really want to underscore that. Our call as Christians and as a church is to lift up God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, the Apostle Paul wrote, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God." And so what churches are collections of people, hopefully collections of people who are all trying to serve the Lord. And when those collections come together to serve the Lord, then you have a group that is beginning to serve the Lord. Our goal as individuals, our goal as a church is to live and worship God. It is to live to worship Him. It is to please Him. It is to put Him first in everything that we do. It is to leave this building and represent Him to the community around us. It is to make sure we act for Him at all times. So let's be very clear on that. Everything we talk about this morning is done to glorify God. Having said that, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, after that great text on grace, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We are supposed to be the workmanship of God. Now, if you think about a craftsman or craftswoman, someone who makes something, and when people see that, that says something about the one who made it. And people may ooh and ah over the product that was made, but ultimately they're thinking about the one who made it. You and I, as Christians, are called to be the workmanship of God. And as a church, it is true. We need to try to be the workmanship of God. Everything that we do points to God. But it's also true that there's a sense in which we are the tools of God. We are something that God uses to accomplish His purposes. Now, He uses us for our good always, but He still uses us. And probably any carpenter who's worth his salt, like if Brother Arter was here today, we'd ask him, "Do you have a favorite hammer?" He'd probably go, "Oh, yeah. I got a hammer that's my go-to hammer. It fits in my hand just right." Whatever the tool may be, we want to be used in such a way that we are a go-to tool for God, as individuals and as a church. And I want to present to you this morning things that we've done in the last year, because all these things are not new, but we sort of lose them. And I think it's helpful for us to hear them all at one time and recognize that God is using us as a church. God is using us for His glory, but we have a role to play, all right? And I want to encourage you with that. The things that we can look at and say we've tried to do over the last year, that's something all of us have done together. And the good that we've done for God's glory is done for His glory, and we've done it together with one another. So we're going to look back at 2022. We're going to look forward to 2023 and talk about some things the shepherds in particular would like for us to think about as we move forward. So let's look back for a few minutes. A lot of things happened last year. One of the most seismic events that happened to us as a congregation is Larry Coffey stepped down as an elder. Larry had served as an elder for 45 years. Think about that for a few moments. And we are forever appreciative of the work that he did. And every servant of the Lord. But we're appreciative of the leadership that he gave. And it's difficult in some ways to think about, well, how do we recover from that? But one of the things you learn is the kingdom of God's larger than one person, right? And it's larger than any one person that you can imagine, regardless of how important they are. And so David Norfleet
stepped up and said, I will serve as a shepherd of this congregation, and that's been a blessing to us. This congregation has been very committed to the idea of studying the Word of God congregationally and outside of our building. At the beginning of the year, Tristan Ganchero came and preached this series of lessons in January of 2022, Called to Unusual Kindness. That was followed in February with the Bible Forum. Jason Longstreth came and talked about, have you heard? If you heard Jesus is going to establish a kingdom on earth, that scriptures aren't reliable. He dealt with themes like that. It was very powerful lessons, very useful and very helpful. In May, we had a men's weekend on Friday and Saturday. Keith Stonehart from Alabama came and he addressed lessons to men about how we can do a better job as men, and that's very needed in our congregation. In July, our VBS was back to the old form. You remember when COVID came around, in 2020, we had no VBS. 2021, we had a VBS, but it was like a Saturday outside. It was hot. It's very different. But last year, our VBS went back to the way it was before. Monday through Thursday in the morning from 10 o'clock in the morning till noon. And it was building. I mean, we were building after a couple of years of not having it, coming through COVID. And it was well attended for what it was. In the fall, Brent Kirchhoff came and he talked about the issue of hope in our fall Bible series. And we closed up the year for our young people with our youth forum, God Now More Than Ever. And we had several men from the area come, Ryan Cummings, Eric Parker, Scott Beyer, and then David and I finished up on Sunday. Lessons that I think are very key to where we are right now, because we're being told that God's not important. We desperately need God within our life. Now, in the area of evangelism, we were very active. We had 17 baptisms last year, all right? Now, you heard me say 16. I was going through the list again, and I recognized that someone was left out. So we had 17 baptisms here. And again, that glory goes to God, and we praise God for that. But we rejoice that here in our congregation, 17 people came to the Lord. David Norfleet went to Kenya. Chad Scott went to India, and they preached in both places. We had a booth at the Middletown Festival. That's an opportunity we take advantage of every year to meet the community, to go out and talk to people, try to see if there's any interest. We usually have a couple of people who visit some after the Middletown Festival. So that's something we do every year. We did it again last year, especially with COVID, you know, dying down. There were a lot of people at the Middletown Festival this last year. We are blessed by God to be able to support 60 men around the world who preach the gospel. 60 men are dependent upon God using us to help them live so that they can preach. We'll talk about the results of that in just a moment. Three men locally, Brother Paul, David, and myself. We also support two radio stations in the Philippines. Larry in particular has said that the Philippines right now are sort of like the way the United States was in the 1950s. There is a hunger for the gospel, and there are a lot of people who come to the gospel from the preaching there. In fact, if you look at the reports that we have in from the men that we helped support last year, and there are some who have not sent in their fourth quarter reports yet, just from the reports that we've come in, the men that we helped support brought 382 people to the gospel through the preaching of the Word of God. And I have to emphasize to you, the glory goes to God, but you are part of that process. Many of these people could not devote themselves to preaching the gospel if it weren't for people like you who give so that that can take place. God gets the credit, but you have played a part. You have been a tool in the hand of God to share the Word of God. And for those that we share, and this does not include the 17 here in our congregation. And again, there'll be others who will send their reports in. There'll be more. So over 400 people have come to Christ in the last year because of the efforts that God has blessed us with in sharing the Word of God with others. We also had last year an evangelism workshop. Andy Cantrell came down in September to talk about the things that we can do better to try to share the Word of God with others. And then there are several other things that we did. Most of you are involved with the Growing in Grace effort, where we talked about why we need grace within our life But then as people who are given grace, we have to show kindness and grace to other people. Guys, we're living in a world that is going to become more and more unlike us. But there are people out there who are lost. And we have to learn to respond to people and treat people in a graceful way, showing the love of God to other people so that they can come regardless of where they are. And also, we need grace every day as well, even when we're as children. So that was a very useful effort. The ladies' Bible class took place most Thursdays of the year. We had the morning 4-3-2-1 turned into the morning 5 because the morning 4-3-2-1 was 4 minutes with 3 preachers, 2 messages, 1 text. Austin disappeared, and sometimes it wasn't 4 minutes. So then it became, well, what do we call this thing? We call it the morning 5, but sometimes it's not 5 minutes, so I'm not going to change the name again. So we're just going to run with morning 5. But that's Tuesday through Friday, 5, 6, 7 minutes of just something for the Word of God to encourage you, just going through a text of Scripture. Austin Shearer last year finished the training program. He moved to the Julian Creek Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and is doing very well there. We'll talk about our plans for the coming year there. I want to close with this, looking at the last year. Well, almost close with it. Our weekly contribution ended up $16,684. Our budget was $16,800. Okay, again, God has blessed us richly, and the glory goes to God. We are blessed with a lot of resources to use within the kingdom. Now, we were a little under budget. Inflation went up last year, and that hit everybody, and we understand that. But I do want to emphasize, while money is not important to us, what we are doing with these funds is important to us. And that's why I pointed out we're able to support 60 men around the world, 63 men around the world, who spend their time and they're devoted to preaching the Word of God. And these funds that are given, for the most part, go there to try to help people who are sharing the Word of God. So if you're giving what you can give right now, that's fine. You keep doing that. If you can't give right now, Paul says we give as we prosper. If you can't prosper, that's okay. You come anyway. But let's just make sure that we continue moving forward, being used in the kingdom of God in such a way, and sometimes that does include our funds. Let's talk about the numbers just for a moment. Let's see, can you see those pretty well? Yeah. I included 2019. Over the last number of years, our reports have just been 3 years, but I included 2019 so that we can see the way things were before COVID, before everything started to change some. You will see that our attendance was pretty good, 2019. Then 2020, when COVID hit, there was a... Here, this is a better screen. I thought that was there. There was a dive, all right, that took place in 2020. You'll see this broken up between the first 2 months before COVID really hit. Things were going pretty well. COVID hit, and during that whole period of time, beginning in July, when we started to come back together, remember, some people came at 9, some people came at 11, and we got through that. 2011, we all came back together with each other, and we have been rebuilding. You will see an average of 2020 on Sunday morning of 2:40, and Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, that's 9 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, 2:05. That's not where we ended the year, all right? We have been building, all right? And I'm thankful. Look, the elders have been concerned, and we've been open about this, about people who may use the live stream as a substitute for coming together. And that is a concern. But the vast majority of the congregation, the vast majority of you have come back because you have seen and understand the value of being together with one another. All right. I said, live streaming is a great teaching tool. And it can be useful. It is not a substitute for this, by no stretch of the imagination. The command you've heard from me over and over again, Hebrews chapter 10, is to exhort one another. You cannot exhort one another with live stream. We exhort one another by coming together with one another. And I will praise you, commend you, that this congregation, for the most part, has come back together. Other numbers for the last year, you'll see in 2019, we had our membership of 296. We ended 2022 with 282 members. VBS, you see the numbers there. The Bible Forum, we'll talk about that more in just a moment. One of the big things, 17 baptisms. We were just blessed. Several of our young people made the decision to follow the Lord, but we were blessed with other people who made the decision to follow the Lord through the process of evangelism and sharing the Word of God with other people. Look through that. You'll see all the people that we are just grateful that God has been patient with. We had two restorations last year. Emily Lawrence, who used to be Emily Pence, we rejoiced that she came back to the Lord. Colin Lamphere, who is not from our congregation, from the Bowling Green area, but he lives in the area. He made the decision to get his life right with the Lord, and he became a part of this congregation. We had three of our members who died last year. Bill King, Brother Lester O'Banion, and Wilmer Weedman. And though saints are always missed when they leave, we rejoice if we believe them to be faithful that they are with the Lord and in a better place. That's 2022. 2023. What do the elders want you to know about our thoughts moving forward for us as a congregation? Really, three things stand out. First of all, we want to continue sharing the gospel in our community and abroad. We're going to do this in several ways. Locally, every week, we have a group of people who are part of what we call the guest evangelism team that is busy. Everybody, you know, they get a visitor card when they come in, visitors. They're busy writing visitors in our community. A certain number of letters so that every week, every few weeks, there's something, if they don't come back, that's before them, reminding them that we do appreciate them coming. And generally, we've heard good responses. There are just people who are appreciative of the cards that they're getting. So that's something that's done on a regular basis. We also have a media outreach team. And by the way, if you'd like, you can be part of either one of these teams. All right? You can be part of the media outreach team, the evangelism team that works to send cards. See Steve Gwynn about that. The media outreach team really works on social media. And it's things like making a post to encourage people. It usually goes out the first part of the week. It's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on Instagram. I know to a lot of us, we think, why are we spending our time there? That's where people are today. That's where young people are. We want to have a presence there. We will advertise on social media. And the social media team gets together every few months, and they just brainstorm about how we can do this. We also have monthly mail-outs. For the last 2 years, we have mailed out in the Douglas Hills neighborhood every month, almost every month, a little card. You've probably seen it out front from time to time. It's something with a biblical idea on it, something that hopefully catches people's eyes, and then has a short message on the back and encourages them to come and visit with us or to contact us. We've saturated our neighborhood, we believe, at this point for about 2 years, and now we're going to start focusing on some of the apartments around us. So our tactics are going to change a little bit there. But if you want to be a part of that team, when the next social media meeting takes place, then jump on in. It's usually through Zoom. David Norfleet will conduct quarterly evangelism meetings. This is following up on what Andy Cantrell did with us in September, and that's going to be coming up soon. Abroad, we will continue to assist people who are preaching the Word of God as we can. We are pretty maxed out in our budget right now with supporting 60 different men. But as the funds come in, or someone that we're helping support steps away and no longer needs that support, we will actively look for opportunities to pick up that support elsewhere so that we can help someone who's sharing the Word of God. I will be traveling to the Philippines in May. The Philippines is a target because we support a lot of men in the Philippines. I said earlier, we have two radio programs. There's another radio program on one island. We support a lot of men who are involved in that. There are a lot of good results. But we don't really have boots on the ground in the Philippines. And so I'm going to go in May and visit some of the people on one of the islands, Palawan, and spend almost probably around 10 or 12 days there. And I'll report back. David Norfleet's going to travel to Kenya again in the fall. And just so we can say we're going to do it in 2020, Chad Scott, right after Christmas in 2023, is going to go to India. This is going to be his second trip there. And we have a growing presence of helping people in India, too. So Chad is aware of a number of these preachers, and he's going to go and spend time with them. And both he and David will come back and report back to us of the things that they had done. All right, the preacher training program. Austin left last year. We have since then, August, not had anyone in the training program. Historically, the church likes the training program. We like having a young man in, encouraging that young man. We still want to do that. The fact that we don't have someone in is not a sign that we don't want to do it. We're just looking for the person. And that's becoming maybe a little more difficult. I've talked to other preachers, and it seems like it's harder and harder to find people, men, who are going to step into preaching the gospel. I've had one person reach out to me. A person reach out to me for someone else. I'm waiting for the person who they told me about to contact me, and we'll see what happens there. We continue to try to put feelers out. So we want to bring someone else in, but we also want to bring in someone who's going to be the right person for the program. Number two in 2023, we want to encourage faithfulness towards God for our congregation. David mentioned this morning, last week's sermon, our theme this year is engaged. Why is it? Because we want to encourage every Christian here to be engaged spiritually, personally with God, but then engaged with our congregation, working with one another in fellowship. First of the year, Sean Rice came. I mean, this is like 2 weeks ago, guys. Came and he preached on wrestling with our riches. Did a wonderful job, very thought-provoking lessons. Okay. For the last 30-plus years, we have had a Bible forum. All right, and that has been something that we promoted, where people have come. A forum is where people discuss things. We have a man comes in, addresses an issue that we hope is of relevance to people, and then there are some questions and answers, and we deal with that. Last year's Bible Forum was the poorest attended, as far as visitors go, of any that we've had. And so the elders have decided this year we're not going to follow that same format. We're just going to do like a regular spring Bible series. Maybe next year we may do it again, but this year we're just going to drop back and just try to focus on encouraging one another. We still want to encourage you, invite people. That's not what we're not trying to do this year, but we're not going to do people submit names, and we're going to send out letters. We're going to hold off on that. Our speaker this year is Phil Robertson. Phil Robertson is well-regarded as a very, very engaging gospel preacher, able to make lessons very practical, bring them into our lives so that we can be encouraged. He's going to be here February 27th through March 1st. That's going to be Monday through Thursday, and the theme is going to be Rules of the Spiritual Road. I watched a video that he's created for us for social media, and I think it's going to be something I know you're going to want to be here for that. So I encourage all of you, block those dates out. Make a commitment to be here, to listen to those lessons. Encourage any visitors that we may have, and encourage one another as well. We are planning some song leader development this year and some teacher development, because song leaders and teachers are so vital to the role of this congregation being encouraged and strengthened and taught. And we want to show our song leaders and our teachers, we want to give you the tools and help you so that you can be more effective in what you do. The Growing in Grace effort, which has been focused so far last year to our building and our classes, is going to move outside of our building, move to homes, and it's going to start dealing with specific topics. Let me just go ahead and throw this in now. We've mentioned over the last few weeks the survey. You can do the survey online, but there are also hard copies back there. Really need you to do that. These studies are going to be tailor-made to the issues that, as a congregation, we say we're either going through, or we know people who are going through this, or I just want to know more information about it. All right. So spend time filling that out. Mentioned so far, we'll mention again, it's completely anonymous. No one's going to try to figure out your handwriting. But we just need this information so that this next phase of growing in grace can be effective. Based upon the recommendations of students and parents, the youth forum is going to be moved from December to September 16th through 17th. We're still working on the details of that. That's number two. Lastly, number three, we want to encourage greater love of our brethren here. Love is the thing that glues us all together in Christ. And quite frankly, as important as our assemblies are, those assemblies are a step. toward us getting to know each other better. But you know, in Acts chapter 2, we are told that the saints gathered daily at the temple and they broke bread from house to house. We believe it's important for this congregation to be a congregation where everyone is committed to peace and unity. I can't tell you how often I hear of situations of churches that split because people can't get along with one another. Guys, that is not what the church is supposed to be about. I know there may be times that we may have to part ways. But I think the biblical model in passages like Ephesians chapter 4 is that we hold on to each other desperately. Which means that we need to be people who are committed not only to peace and unity, we're committed to spending time with each other, practicing hospitality, getting with each other outside of the assembly, after the assembly. So I want to encourage you, as I have before, as opportunities arise for you to get with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ outside of our assembly, take advantage of that. That will make our assembly time so much more meaningful when we're here and we see one another. And that doesn't mean that we're going to make sure that we encourage one another to come to the assemblies. This is not about a number. But that number is indicative of something. To some degree, it hopefully is indicative of people who are not only committed to the Lord, but they're committed to one another. And that's the only reason to me the number is important. We want more of our Christians here, more of our family members here, to make our assemblies a priority. We said this about Wednesday nights. Wednesday night has been one of our biggest concerns. Our Wednesday night numbers before COVID were somewhere around 220. They've been like 160 or 180 after COVID. Now, the first 3 weeks of the year on Wednesday night, those numbers have gone up. I averaged that 209, okay, which is much closer. If you came before on Wednesday night and you're not coming now, let me just encourage you. Start coming back. That is a time of teaching you will benefit from. I know God didn't command Wednesday nights. But we have decided that we believe it's good for us to come together because Christians met every day sometimes. On Wednesday night, middle of the week, shot in the arm, it's good for us to come together with one another. So, think about that. All right. What happens to us now? The Apostle Paul wrote to churches. And open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Let me just walk through this book really quickly. When you read through the book of Ephesians, there's really nothing bad Paul says about the church at Ephesus. In fact, you will see some general admonitions, but they do sort of seem to just be general. Not something, hey, you guys, you got a problem here. The book begins with this beautiful preamble of how God has blessed us. It gives us in chapter 2 the quintessential text on grace and our salvation that comes because of that. Latter part of chapter 2, it talks about how Christ brings Jews and Gentiles together with one another. Chapter 4, how we can have peace with one another, how the church grows. Beginning in chapter 4 about verse 17, all the way down through chapter 6, he starts giving just practical advice on how to live. Don't lie to one another, work hard, be careful what you say, make sure that you're living in a way that glorifies God. Husbands and wives, get along with each other. Children, obey your parents, honor your parents. Even in work relationships, he addresses that. Then he closes the book by talking about be aware that there's a spiritual battle going on. All right? That you're involved in. You may not see those forces, but and you don't need to get to the point where you don't think about them. You need to put on the whole armor of God. So I would say the tenor of this book is really pretty encouraging. This was written somewhere probably around 61, 62, 63 BC. Our best guess is the church at Ephesus was started somewhere around 51 AD. So it's about 10 years old, and Paul's writing to them, and And they seem to be going really, really well. And as you open your Bible to Revelation chapter 2, the text that Josh read for us really seems very encouraging, right? What do you hear about this church? They're working, they're toiling, they're patient in their endurance. They cannot bear with those who are evil. They test those who call themselves apostles and are not. They find to be false. All wonderful things about this church. Notice verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works that you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now, there's a lot of debate as to when the book of Revelation was written. If you take an early date, then it's going to be around 70, right before 70 AD, somewhere around there. And so this church has been in existence for probably somewhere around 20 years. If you take a late date, it's over 50 years. Here's the relevance. You know how long this congregation has been here? 51 years here. So if you take the late date, you've got this church that they were working on all cylinders, and almost 50 years later, they still look like they're working really well, but Jesus says there's a problem here. So guys, from my heart as a preacher and as a shepherd, my biggest fear for this church is that we get to the point where we've lost our first love. That we look healthy on the outside, we're supporting a lot of men overseas, we're doing a lot of things. But there's a cancer that may be there. I'm not saying it's there. I'm not saying that I see something that deeply frightens me. I'm saying as I read about this church at Ephesus that was doing so well, and yet just a short time later, Jesus is at the point where he says, I will remove your lampstand. That's not what we want. Churches are composed of individuals. We can't fix us as a church. But the shepherds can encourage you as an individual, and you can challenge yourself as an individual. Where's your love? Where are you at? Because if your love's off, and the love of the person next to you is off, and the love of the person across from you is off, and that begins to sort of typify this church, we're not going to be where we need to be. So here's the good news. Jesus said, repent. So if you see yourself starting to go off, repent, change. If you know you're off, repent, change. And as every one of us, here's the good news, as every one of us is committed to living an excellent life as a child of God, pushing ourselves in the service of the Lord, being devoted and engaged, this congregation as a whole is going to be typified by that type of attitude. And we will grow all to the glory of God. Amen? Amen. Let's work on that this year. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do so appreciate you. We think about how you have blessed us with your grace and how much we need you and how much we have been blessed because of Jesus. Dear Father, as we think back at 2022 and coming out of all the COVID stuff, we are grateful that by your grace the church has recovered the way that it has, and we want to continue to grow and encourage one another so that we can grow stronger and stronger and do more and more in your kingdom, be used as a tool within your hand, be your workmanship so that others may see and glorify you. As we think about 2023, all the things that we shared, please help us, dear Father, as a church to be committed to these things so that others may come to you. We love you, dear Father. We do this for you. We are grateful, so very grateful that you have promised us a home in heaven one day. We so long to hear at the end of our life, well done, good and faithful. We pray, dear Father, we may hear Not just that as individuals, but as a church. Bless us, dear Father. Help us to be focused on you. Help us to be focused on truth. Help us to address people compassionately. Help us to glorify you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So, if you assemble with this church on a regular basis and you're not a Christian, you know what we're trying to do here. And if you want to be a part of that, if you want to serve the Lord and have your sins washed away so that you can have a home in heaven one day, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. And you can come forward and you can be baptized. If you need to learn more, grow more, we'll be happy to study with you. If you're a child of God, and maybe as we're talking a few moments ago, you're thinking, yeah, I'm not really one of the ones that's helping us to grow. I want to encourage you. Change your mind this morning. Repent. It may be publicly. It may just be between you and the Lord. This church needs you to be strong. When you're strong, we're all strong. And God is lifted up. If you need to change something in your life as we're singing and you're a child of God, ask God to forgive you. If we can pray with you, come forward now. While we stand, while we sing.